If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A brewery in Georgia is offering a new beer named after infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci called Fauci Spring. They were going to make one for President Trump, but turns out no one likes a bitter stout.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedian John Mulaney. But first, a closer look.
President Trump seems intent on reopening the economy by the end of the month, even though he doesn't have the power to do that, and public health experts have warned against it. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Since before Trump was even considered a serious candidate for president, it's always been clear that he's worshipped authoritarians and sought to emulate them. For one thing, those are the world leaders he gets along with best. For example, he's repeatedly heaped praise on Chinese President Xi Jinping, including during the coronavirus outbreak. Trump tweeted, "China has been through much and has developed a strong understanding of the virus, and China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency." Trump wants us to forget all that now because he thinks our brains are like his, but they're not. Most of us can form and retain memories, while Trump has the memory of a goldfish who smokes weed. Hey, man, has that treasure chest always been there? And by the way, I know it's hard to remember back further than a day, since every day is a year and every year is a month and every month is February, March, August, September. But Trump has claimed many times that Article 2 of the Constitution, which outlines the powers of the presidency, allows him to do literally whatever he wants, even though it obviously does not.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
"I have an Article 2" is how a cabbie from Queens would say it while fighting with a traffic cop. "Come on, you can't give me a ticket for parking here. I got an Article 2 that tells me I can do whatever I want." Some people were still holding out hope that when got serious, Trump would get serious, when in reality, it was clear he would just be. And sure enough, as recently as Monday, he was insisting once again that as president, he had absolute power and could unilaterally order every state in the country to lift their stay-at-home orders and reopen their economies as early as May 1st.
"There's a debate over what authority you have to order the country reopened. What authority do you
have?" "Well, I have the ultimate authority. I have the absolute right to do if I want to. When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be. The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do, which is very powerful."
Talk about a meaningless statement. The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do. It's kind of the perfect zero information sentence. It's like saying, "Hey, I gotta be me." Yeah, okay, but who are you, though? The wannabe dictator who's best friends with Kim Jong-un, or the cherubic mascot for Love Handles Golf Resort and Spa? Seriously, if the Continental Congress had actually written that down on parchment, Ben Franklin would have charged in the room and been like, guys, come on, what the hell is this? Were you drunk last night? And George Washington would have been like, sorry, boss, we drank too much Applejack. But John Adams would have been like, I was busy defending the soldiers in the Boston Massacre. See? You guys, I did watch the miniseries. By the way, here's my impression of Paul Giamatti in John Adams. Abigail. For real, such a good miniseries. Giamatti was so good. So good Lin-Manuel left John Adams out of Hamilton, is my theory. And can we just agree now that there should never, ever be a Donald Trump miniseries, or at least wait as long as HBO did after his term ended to make John Adams? Just don't make an actor of Paul Giamatti's caliber ever say the line, the President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do. Because that's an actual sentence that came out of Trump's mouth. I mean, can you imagine if President Obama had said something like that? First of all, you can't, because Obama was a smart person who knew more than five words. I mean, you never tuned into a press conference and saw a chyron that said, Obama, China strong, but USA more strong. Second, Fox News would have gone into full meltdown mode. Sean Hannity would have screamed so loud the glass of your TV would have cracked. Sorry, your grandfather's TV. In fact, on his show this week, Hannity insisted states could actually reopen sooner than the end of the month.
I think most states can reopen even sooner than later. We don't have to wait till May 1st.
Okay, Sean, you go first. Take your show outside and host it in Times Square with Buzz Lightyear and Elmo. Ask people to cough on you. You can call it coffee talk. And then, after significant pushback, President Werewolf seemingly changed course and claimed that he would be consulting with governors on when to open their economies and would authorize them to implement their own plans to do that.
I will then be authorizing each individual governor of each individual state to implement a reopening and a very powerful reopening plan of their state at a time and in a manner as most appropriate.
You can't authorize people to do something they already have the authority to do. He's like a boss who thinks he's being generous by telling his employees, hey, when your shift ends tonight, feel free to, you know, go home to your families or whatever. I give you the permission to do that. Governors across the country and the political spectrum, from California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, to Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, have been skeptical that the country can just magically reopen by the end of the month without mass testing and contact tracing to track the spread and isolate cases. And yet, in his daily Rose Garden campaign rally on Wednesday night, Trump insisted that governors are actually excited to just open back up as soon as possible.
We'll also be speaking to America's governors tomorrow, and then we'll be announcing exactly what's happening. You already know we'll be opening up states, some states much sooner than others. And we think some of the states can actually open up before the deadline of May 1st. And I think that that will be a very exciting time indeed. Governors are looking forward. They're chomping at the bit to get going.
Nobody's chomping at the bit just yet. I'm still wiping down every piece of mail like the return address says Chernobyl. What do you even mean by opening up anyway? You can't make people go out. You're going to have federal agents knock on people's doors and force them to go to the Olive Garden? That's right. Pass the breadsticks around. Everybody touch the basket. Everybody touch the basket. You just can't make people go to restaurants or stores because you want them to. In fact, a new poll published by Politico this week found that more than 8 in 10 voters, 81%, say Americans should continue to social distance for as long as is needed to curb the spread of coronavirus, even if it means continued damage to the economy. Only 10% say Americans should stop social distancing to stimulate the economy, even if it means increasing the spread of coronavirus. When it comes to reopening the economy, voters want the government to move slowly, not more quickly. And that should be good, because moving slowly is the one thing Trump is good at, both metaphorically and literally. He lumbers around the White House lawn like a retiree spraying crabgrass. Do we have any weed killer? Just give me some Trump vodka. It's the same thing. In fact, that was the ad campaign. Trump vodka. It's also a pesticide. Public health experts are warning us that prematurely reopening things could have deadly consequences, just like waiting to act until it was too late had deadly consequences, and yet Trump is incapable of absorbing that reality. Just take this truly chilling anecdote from the Washington Post. Why don't we let this wash over the country, Trump asked, a question other administration officials say he has raised repeatedly in the Oval Office. Dr. Anthony Fauci initially seemed confused by the term wash over, but became alarmed once he understood what Trump was asking. Mr. President, many people would die, Fauci said.
Okay, and looking at your faces, I'm guessing that's bad. That's a bad thing.
I mean, think about that. Fauci actually had to explain that to the president. No wonder he covers his face during press briefings. Soon he's going to start dressing to blend into the background completely.
Fauci, I know you're here, Fauci. I can hear you sighing. I'm not going to hurt you, Fauci. I just want to talk to you.
Trump seems intent on repeating all the same mistakes he made at the start of this crisis. For example, Trump has repeatedly bragged about his China travel ban, even though the New York Times reported that 430,000 people have traveled from China to the U.S. since coronavirus surfaced, and that, according to a genetic study, most New York coronavirus cases came from Europe. New research indicates that the coronavirus began to circulate in the New York area by mid-February, weeks before the first confirmed case, and that travelers brought in the virus mainly from Europe, not Asia. And that would probably come as a shock to Trump, who tweeted in 2014 about the Ebola outbreak. If this doctor, who so recklessly flew into New York from West Africa, has Ebola, then Obama should apologize to the American people and resign. You know how people always say, if you could travel back in time, where would you go? And some people say ancient Rome or the Wild West. I go back 6 years and introduce 2014 Donald Trump to current Donald Trump, just so we could see how much of a hypocrite he is. Of course, I understand. It would immediately backfire. Before you send that tweet, I think you should know that in 6 years from now, you will be doing something very similar as president.
Holy I'm going to be president?
Yes, but that's not the point I was trying to make.
President of the United States? What happened?
Look, no, I have brought you here to prove you're a hypocrite.
Well, I think you mean president. Hypocrite.
So now, Trump and his allies are trying to shift blame for their inaction to China and the World Health Organization. Now, of course, the World Health Organization has its flaws, but Trump is the one who repeatedly praised China for the handling of coronavirus, and a global pandemic is the worst time to suddenly pull funding from the world's leading public health group. And when you hear the Trump team's reasons, you realize they are just incredibly stupid.
But with the World Health Organization, what's happened there is a disgrace. There's something going on. There's something going on that's very bad. It's been going on for a long period of time, and we don't want to be the suckers anymore.
This is COVID-19, not COVID-1, folks. And so you would think the people charged with the World Health Organization facts and figures would be right on top of that.
Oh, my God, you absurd Lady Beavis. COVID-19 is named after the year it was discovered, 2019. There weren't 18 COVIDs before this one. You're confusing it with the Fast and Furious movies. Does she think there's a spinoff called Hobbs and SARS? Although it would explain why, when it comes to putting people in charge of the government, Trump's motto is,
I don't have friends. I got family.
Okay, I take it back. You can do a Trump miniseries now only if Vin Diesel plays him.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
And all of this just reveals the rot of bad faith at the core of the modern GOP. Conservatives never really meant any of that stuff about limited government. As we're seeing now, in fact, Trump himself conveniently changes his mind whenever it suits him, and the whole GOP turns in unison with him like a school of herring. When he wanted to claim absolute power, he insisted that the president calls the shots. But when he was asked about the failures at the federal level to ramp up testing, or when governors were begging him for life-saving equipment like ventilators and protective gear, he said he didn't take responsibility and actually bragged that he wouldn't even call the governors unless they praised him.
Dr. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that? And when can you guarantee that every single American who needs a test will be able to have a test? What's the date of that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all. He calls all the governors. I tell him. I mean, I'm a different type of person. I say, Mike, don't call the governor of Washington. You're wasting your time with him. Don't call the woman in Michigan.
Okay, first of all, she has a name. It's Gretchen Whitmer, and she's a governor. On top of being a sexist ass, Trump's brain is so deteriorated that he talks about governors the way your dad talks about an actress he recognizes but can't name. Who's the one who was in the movie with the guy, Diane Lane, Dad? It's always Diane Lane. Look, we can't just open the economy up by May 1st. Not only does Trump not have the power to do that, but public health experts are warning that we won't be able to just go back to normal until there's mass testing, contact tracing, and eventually a vaccine. A responsible president would be preparing the nation for that reality. Instead, Trump is once again trying to wave away the crisis. As polls show, people just don't believe him, and that's because
we don't want to be the suckers anymore.
This has been A Closer Look, and this, one more time, is my Paul Giamatti impression from John Adams.
Abigail, I am vexed.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
We're joined now by one of my dearest friends, and you can hear him right now on the new Oh Hello, the podcast. Please welcome back to the show, John Mulaney, everybody.
Do I sit into it?
Yeah, you can sit in. You want to walk into it? Like you're, yep.
Okay.
We'll have Fred add some music in post.
Am I waiting for my name?
John Mulaney.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, my dog barked.
I'm very happy to have you here. You are, as you know, you are the record holder for most frequent guest on the show.
Oh, I still have it.
You still have it. Martha Stewart, very close. Excuse me. She was just on. And I feel as though it's good to always, like, keep the same buffer between you and her.
Which is I always have one over Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I think that's just for safety.
Right, right. Okay. I mean, I'm always a little nervous with her hellhound on my trail like that.
Yeah, exactly. I like asking people how they're spending their time during quarantine. I sort of picked up from social media that you're watching old television shows.
Yeah, I'm catching up on Real Housewives of New York, starting from season one, which took place in 2008. And I'm currently in season three, which is, I believe we're in late 2009.
Gotcha.
You know me, I'm a big Orange County, Beverly Hills guy.
What was the impetus of going back and watching that? You'd never seen it?
I'd never seen Real Housewives of New York. I was very aware of it. And then my wife, Anna, said, that's leaps and bounds beyond Beverly Hills and Orange County. And I'd never seen a lick of it. So she said, let's start at season one. And we did. And it's fantastic.
You do like it. So it's living up to her highest standards.
Yeah, I like it very, very much. Yeah, her endorsement was exactly right. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't. I remember it would sort of be on, you know, at SNL in the corner sometimes, and I never really watched it.
Do you know Bethany Frankel?
I've met Bethany Frankel a few times, yeah.
A few times, okay. Because I remember you had a bottle of her vodka in your office.
It might have been, I feel like it was maybe tequila, though, but I can't remember. I feel like Bethany Frankel.
Her name's also on a tequila.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Like a skinny teeny. Maybe I'm getting this all mixed up.
That all those words, skinny teeny, sound right.
Based on watching Real Housewives, that led you to take the Myers-Briggs personality test?
It didn't lead me to take it, but I did begin thinking where I fit in among the housewives, you know.
Right.
And I do that with most seasons, be it Orange County, Beverly Hills, or now Roni, which is Real Housewives of New York. I try to figure out who I would be in the show and how I would deal with the different conflicts. Do you know one thing they never, ever do ever on that show is apologize?
Oh, wow.
So let's say that I said that you were tacky, Seth, and that you were tacky and you show up to events like a stalker. I made that up, but that could easily be on the show, right? I tell Fred this. Fred tells you immediately.
Right.
We're at a function within hours together, and you call me out on it, and you're mad at me.
Sure.
The way I would apologize is say, I just want to put this behind us. And you'd hug me and you go, okay, I just want to put this. I said, we're good, right? We're good. And never would I say that I insulted you directly on camera, knowing it would get back to you with little remorse. I would just say, we're good, right? I want to put this behind us.
You've also noticed that it does seem as though the characters on those shows are hyper aware that they are on reality shows.
Yeah, especially in the beginning of Real Housewives of New York, because it's like it's not a new concept, the reality show. It's been around for about 8 years by the time Roni starts. But it's easier to say Roni. So, but they still talk about it. If you watch Rehoboth, which is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Rehoboth. If you watch Rehoboth, that island that people go to, they don't talk anymore about how they're on a reality show. But in Real Housewives of New York, circa 2009, someone will say something like, well, I don't want to share that. That's personal. And the rest of them go, we're on a reality show. You have to tell us. And they'll be like arguing with each other and be like, well, why would you do that? And they say like, because it's a reality show. And so they're very aware when they're at an event that they are marketing themselves. So someone might say, why is there a skinny girl margarita sign up? And she says, because it's a reality show and I'm marketing myself. Very self-aware and on the nose.
Did you, are there parts of, does it show you a part of New York that you're nostalgic for, especially during this time where we're stuck inside?
I mean, every part of outdoor New York I'm nostalgic for, but this drives home how nostalgic I am for any part of New York, because they'll show like 1st and 70th. I'm like, oh, that's only 8 blocks from the United Nations, an area I hate. Oh, York and 80th, oh. Huh. To walk there against the wind.
How is your dog Petunia enjoying the quality time she's getting with you?
I think she is. She's snoring. I don't know if this audio can pick it up. She's laying on a little towel. She's enjoying it. I think it took her more than a week to realize what was happening, which is that we weren't going anywhere. We've taken her out on the street a couple times safely. With a mask on, totally kidding. Right. Her face is flat, it would suffocate. And she just looks around like empty streets, like no one anywhere. And it's really weird to a dog.
Yeah.
Our dog her is whole life she's at leg level. And now
yeah. There's no legs to mark exactly.
There's no legs. She doesn't know. Yeah, she can't tell a quarter from the Statue of Liberty. She's got no
without a leg. You went back, you hosted SNL for a third time.
Yeah. And then the world ended.
Yeah. The world ended. And, in February, right? February.
It was leap year Saturday, Feb 29.
And you, you had to cancel a stand-up show in Canada.
Yeah. I yeah, but I'm going to get there real soon.
So Toronto, yes.
Toronto, Canada, supposed to perform in the fall. Had an emergency, truly had an emergency, couldn't perform. But by the way, no one cares. They're still mad at me for canceling the first time. I could tell them my legs were chopped off. They'd be like, well, you should have let ticket owners know. Then weather-related cancellation. Then yeah. I reschedule for February 28th, and I say, there's no way this is going to be canceled. Then I cancel it for Saturday Night Live. Now it's going to be rescheduled for the fourth time. Real soon.
You had Lauren write a letter for you.
Yes. Lauren is the, I think he has a dukedom in Canada.
Yeah.
Or a fiefdom or something. So he's a knight of the Order of Canada. And he'd tell you that. And so he
well, he wears it. He's got a little button.
They have a little button, yeah.
A lapel pin. I should make clear. It's not, I don't think, a button.
It's not a, no. It doesn't have a pin on the back and it says, I'm in Canada. The small understated lapel pin looks very nice. So he wrote a letter to his own people to ask for their forgiveness for me missing the date. And it was very nice. And I am really excited to see the people of Toronto. And this isn't like a life bit where I keep canceling the show for fun. I'm not a sociopath in that way. I recognize how that would be funny, but I'm not currently doing it.
Well, all the good people of Canada and every great nation has a chance to hear you and Nick Kroll, and we'll be right back to talk about the Oh Hello podcast right after this.
Thank you.
We are back with John Mulaney. So Oh Hello has had many lives.
Stage.
Like early, so also like stage. Just... but like are the tiny stages and then Broadway stages and then you can see it on Netflix, the Broadway show, and now
Broadway show, yeah.
Now a podcast.
Now a podcast from George and Gil of the Oh Hello Show. And this is, it's called Oh Hello, the Podcast, The Life and Times of Princess Diana, a.k.a. Dietown.
Yeah, now Princess Di, and this is, you guys Diana. Are discussing Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Do you remember, that was a big deal for you when Princess Diana.
Well, I think it was a big deal for a lot of people, Seth.
Yeah, that's true.
She was England's rose, and she was the queen of Queen of Hearts.
I think this is where me being like just a half generation older than you, because I remember the wedding. Did you watch the wedding?
No, I've seen footage of it, obviously, because I'm producing a podcast on her life and death. So like I've seen clips of it, old man. But No, I was too young to see the wedding, but I did get up at 5 a.m. Chicago time to watch her funeral.
Do you, this was done, when did you guys do the podcast?
So we started recording George and Gil talking to different guests in the fall of 2018. I remember because the midterms were happening. And we had to vote one day, and then we had to go do Oh Hello, the Podcast, The Life and Times of Princess Diana, a.k.a. Dietown. Available wherever podcasts are streamed?
Maybe
not, but Spotify and Apple. So we got a bunch of guests and we recorded all this stuff and we were very excited about it. Then what happened was the coronavirus hit. And I think it was after we saw Bob Dylan's 17-minute song come out. We thought, oh, you don't have to edit so much. I really did. It sonically, it made me rethink editing. And so we started discussing that George and Gil could put this out now because people were essentially begging for it, and in another sense, they were stuck at home.
I do. This is just a total sidebar. You were the man. I didn't even finish listening to Bob Dylan's 17-minute song before I texted you.
You had the best observation of it. You said it was like someone reading a Wikipedia page about John F. Kennedy and then adding, "Hey, boys."
I do, like one of my favorite Dylan moves is that, like, when he puts dialogue in songs, and again, I don't know if this is actually true. It just seems true to me that he always, people preface like, things.
Fellas,
like,
I'm going to go live in Hyannis Port. We're going down to Dallas now. It's a lot of, like, it's a lot of sort of facts, things that are technically true.
But also that in order to present the facts in dialogue, somebody walks into a room and tells a bunch of people.
Yeah. On the day that it happened, a man ran in and said, he lives in Hyannis Port, but now he is dead. Yeah, that kind of
thing.
I mean, that was as off the cuff as cuff gets. And that's
totally. It was great. And it was what we needed in this time.
I think it was super early in the quarantine, but you know.
He should do the extended version now that
he I know. He releases, he goes, all right, you want to hear the 38-minute one?
You have a wonderful. Special on Netflix, not one of your stand-up specials, but the Sack Lunch bunch.
Oh, yeah.
It was I was lucky enough to meet the bunch. We did a 92nd Street Y. And have you reconnected? Have you been in contact with the bunch during this time?
Yeah, I've done a couple Zoom reunions with the bunch. And this is a group of 8 to 13-year-olds. And they're my close friends. So we we did a Zoom reunion I lost their attention quickly. I think they were playing Animal Crossing. And they all started talking about that. And they were excited when I came into the Zoom room, but then I just became another box in the corner, struggling to get their attention. They've been creative during this time. They're out of school. Some of them are like, we're on Broadway anyway, so they're already out of school, but now they're home and, They have been drawing me in a variety of ways.
Yeah, what is a visco drawing, if we show it real quick?
A visco girl is a type of... Do you want me to explain what a visco girl is first?
That'd be helpful, I think.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
The closest I can get is, I think, like, it's what you and I would have called, like, a valley girl.
Okay.
I'll read you some descriptions from New York Magazine. A visco girl is a manic pixie eco-warrior.
Okay.
Otherwise known as annoying, white, helpless romantic. They wear Brandy Melville crop tops and oversized tees that eclipse their jean shorts. And they wear a lot of scrunchies.
All right.
Okay. And they and their catchphrase is "and I oop" or "sk-sk-sk-sk-sk," which is "sk sk sk sk," which is supposed to mimic how they laugh, I guess.
Okay.
And I don't. I want to say this in a non-creepy way. I'm deeply interested in the world of Visco Girls.
And, does it stand for something? Is it like VC? Is it like what is the name?
Oh, Visco is a social media platform where you can like photo edit.
I see. Gotcha.
I don't know. I'm repeating that like a parrot after being. So one young lady, Linda Sutton, drew me as a Visco girl. She then deciphered the photo for me, which was that I'm carrying a hydro flask, which is something Visco girls do. And okay. I have a bunch of scrunchies because that's something Visco girls do. And I have a Carmex because Visco girls carry chapstick.
Gotcha.
All right. I have a square backpack because Visco girls have those like Fogel Raven Dutch.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good pronunciation.
Fogel Raven.
What's it called?
Yeah, Fall Raven? I think it's pronounced Fall Raven.
So I just said the J.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Fogel Raven. Anyway, tomato, tomato. I'm a Visco girl.
Are you productive at all? Or I think that there's sometimes this burden of feeling like we should be doing more with our quarantine time.
Yeah, that's a strange burden we place on ourselves. I mean, I'm pretty productive. I'm watching Housewives. I'm emailing and I'm texting.
You're cultivating that relationship with those 8 to 13-year-olds?
I've done a couple Zooms. I don't like the way you described it. and, you know, I will, I'll make something that's already been made by Trader Joe's. I'll heat that up.
I see. Gotcha. All right.
And I took a personality test while in quarantine. Called the Myers-Briggs test, which is like your name. Have you ever taken that test, by the way?
I don't think I have. What did you end up with? What was your...
I am an ESFP.
ESFP.
An ESFP, which is an extroverted sensing, feeling, and perceiving. You want to know some characteristics of me?
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't picked these up knowing me, you're a jerk, but... where's the party? Question mark. ESFPs love people, excitement, telling stories, and having fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely me. The spontaneous, impulsive nature of this type of personality is almost always entertaining. And ESFPs love to entertain on stage.
Whoa!
Or at work. I guess same thing.
Yeah.
ESFPs sometimes think and talk in more of a spiderweb approach. ESFPs often jump from thought to thought in mid-sentence, touching here or there in a manner that's almost incoherent to the listener. Have you found that to be true hanging out with me?
I found that the more I hang out with you...
Writing nights? Remember like those Tuesdays when we would talk and talk? That was pretty great, right?
Yeah, that was
fun. What were you saying?
Yeah.
And then lastly, almost every ESFP loves to talk. Some can be identified by the 20-minute conversation required to ask or answer a simple factual question.
Great. So that must be rewarding when you take a personality test and then you feel like it hits some of the marks.
It hit way too many of the marks.
Yeah.
Especially the 20 minutes to answer one question. Like, I remember someone once asked me, how did John F. Kennedy die? And it took me 17 minutes.
Thank you for being here, buddy.
Thank you, Seth. Great to see you.
All right. Stay healthy. I love you, John.
Finish the Thornbirds. I love you. Great to see you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
When you're committed to raising the standard, you're bound to ruffle some feathers. At Happy Egg, we like to say we farm differently. But in reality, we produce eggs the way people used to, by partnering with local small family farmers who raise our happy hens on 8 or more acres. Because in our opinion, farming shouldn't be complicated. It should be happy. Choose happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy
Egg.